Well, we're going to read God's Word today from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we will begin our reading at verse 8 of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 8. Let us consider carefully the word of the living God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 14, that tremendous declaration of eternal truth. And we trust that the Lord will take His Word today and apply it generously to our hearts for Jesus' sake. When Martin Luther was growing up in Roman Catholic Germany, he believed that God the Father was very judgmental. Martin thought of God as being so strict that He would often lash out against those who did not measure up to God's perfection. It's no wonder then that the youthful Luther was deathly afraid when lightning struck very near to him one day. He was so terrified that he immediately vowed to St. Anne that he would become a monk. Well, later, still languishing without any peace with God, Martin began to hate God. He wrote that he began hating God because God would not respond to his prayers or his penances. But God opened Martin's blinded eyes while he was reading this very book, Romans. Martin began enjoying such peace with God, having read Romans and come to the Lord through it. He wrote these wonderful words. Listen to the different attitude he had toward God the Father. He says, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. Now, someone here today may have presently or at some times cherished bad thoughts about God. Well, I'm here to tell you that Christ has saving mercies, even for His worst enemies. For those of us who are now justified by faith in Christ, Paul has been inspired. He was inspired in order to write wonderful words of assurance for us. And Romans 8 is so much about assurance. How can we be sure that all is well with us and the Lord? That's a very burning question. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, there is one means of assurance right there. The leading of the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Well, we must learn what that means in some particulars. So as we look at this text, verse 14, we'll divide it in three ways, taking the first three words, as many as, for the first four words, let's do that. For as many as. So from these words, we glean the thought that not all are sons, but only as many as are led by the Spirit. So not all are sons, first of all. Second, as many as are led by the Spirit. And the second thought is true sons are led by the Spirit. True sons are Spirit-led. And then thirdly, true sons can be absolutely sure. True sons can be absolutely sure. Does God want us to live in the fog bank? No. Okay. True sons can be absolutely sure. Look at those last words. They are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, this is such a blessing to me. So first of all, let's consider not all are sons of God. Paul is very careful that not to say that not every person is savingly related to the Lord. For as many as. And why is the apostle and the Lord so careful to set this out? Because the Holy Spirit, being the eternally infinite, omniscient God, knew that vain, ignorant sinners would declare the heresy of universalism. There are actually people that believe everyone will be ultimately saved, even the fallen angels and Satan himself. Because God is love. That's what they based it on. They would spout their false doctrines of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. Paul, however, declares the exclusive nature of Christianity. In Ephesians chapter 2, he's telling the believers that they were in time past children of disobedience, verse 2, and thus children of wrath, even as others, verse 3. In Romans 1:18, Paul declares the wrath of God against men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, Paul's great master, the Lord Jesus Christ, plainly spoke on this issue. He told some men that they were not his children. He just came right out and boldly said to them that they were children of the devil. John 8:44, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, not children of God." Again, Christ asked the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 33. He said, "Ye serpents, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Now, even in the context of that most well-known verse of Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." If you drop down two verses in that context, in verse 18, it says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." So we see that not all are sons of God, for as many as. Now, secondly, true sons of God are Spirit-led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, how can sinners, lost by nature, become true sons of God? It's miraculous. First of all, I'm going to give you three reasons, three ways that God has designed for us to become the sons of God. Number one, it is by the Father's adopting love. It is a Trinitarian action. It is by the Father's adopting love. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll turn there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, you see the Father here. It is so clear. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Who has done that? The Father's done that in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ. According as He, that is the Father, hath chosen us in Him, in Christ. It is the Father that has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, this is the Father, once again, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, the Father's adopting love was also a predestinating love. So it's not only the Father's love, it is by the grace of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, that we are sons. We are told this over and over. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as well that we are children of God. Colossians 1:14, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Romans 5:9, being now justified by His blood. Now, back in Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. All right, there it is. It is to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in the Beloved. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we are accepted. And it's a matter of grace, according to the riches of His grace. If you look there at verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. All right, now end of verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Whose blood? Christ's blood. According to the riches of His grace. There it is. We are not only adopted as sons of God, we are purchased by Christ's blood. And in union with Him, we are in His Son. We are sons of God by the redeeming blood of Christ. Not only adopted, but tied to the family of God by the blood tie. The tie of Christ. Blood. Now, then we are adopted by the Father, we are purchased by the Son, and lastly, we are born of the Spirit. John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. All right. Now, which person of the Godhead are we born of? John 3:5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Verse 6. That which is born of the Spirit. And John, writing in this gospel, also wrote his first epistle. And in that epistle, no less than four times, he writes about us being born of God. We are birthed, we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit into the family of God as the sons of God. So we are true sons of God by adoption, by blood atonement, and by the new birth. Now, what is our second point? That true sons are led by the Spirit. True sons are Spirit-led. So what does it mean being led by the Spirit? I'm going to give you several things here. First of all, as Moses led Israel out of Egypt, even so the Holy Spirit is leading each of the children of God on a journey, on a holy pilgrimage. He's leading us. Secondly, He leads us into all truth. John 16:13. Now I'll tell you again. John 14:15 and 16 teaches so much doctrine regarding the Holy Spirit and His ministry. He leads us into all truth. John 16:13. He will guide you into all truth. How? by speaking the Word to us. The Spirit is leading us. Isaiah 30, verse 21, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." He is the very unction of the Holy One. 1 John 2, verse 20, so that we know the truth. We have an unction from the Holy One so that we know the truth. It is the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He enlightens us. He illuminates us as the Spirit of wisdom so that our eyes and our understanding are opened. Ephesians 1, again, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. All right, there it is. The Spirit is leading us and enlightening us and illuminating us so that we know as we read the Word. He leads us and gives us an appetite for a deeper knowledge of Christ. Once again, Jesus said in John 16, 14, "He shall receive of mine, the Spirit's going to receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." And in chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said that He will bring all things to your remembrance that I've spoken to you. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, "He, the Spirit of God, shall testify of me." He is constantly leading us, His sons, to a deeper, fuller knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word. The Spirit and the Word. Now, that is the beginning of what being led by the Spirit is. The true sons of God are all Spirit-led. So we come, lastly, to our third point. We've seen that not all are sons. Secondly, all true sons are Spirit-led. And finally, all sons can be absolutely sure that they are sons. And here's the kicker. Praise God for this. God has given us this Word. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know." Why has He given us this book? So we don't have to live in doubt, live in the fog bank, think maybe, "Oh, I hope everything's good with me and God." No. He has given us His Word. And I'm going to probably give you 20 reasons why we can know today. I don't know exactly. I haven't counted them. So get ready. All right. Now, we are the sons of God. It is the will of God that we be absolutely sure. I want to give you a wonderful verse over in James chapter 4, verse 5. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a literal translation. The translation we have is not perfectly clear, but I'm going to give you a literal Greek translation of James 4, 5. All right. Do you think the Spirit, the Scripture says in vain regarding the Spirit that dwells within us? Here's what it goes on to say. The Spirit that has once and for all made His residence in us, strongly desires us to the point of jealousy. You never read that in your Bible, did you? Okay, that's why I think you should learn Greek. So, it's actually literally saying, the Spirit that has once for all made His residence in us. That's the aorist tense. Now we have the Word. He strongly desires. That's the literal translation of the Greek word. He strongly desires us to the point of envy or jealousy. Now, on the basis of that verse, I'm making this statement that God is passionately concerned that His children have full peace and full assurance of faith. God is not blessed by our living in doubt land and cloud land. Okay? So how do we know? How are we assured? How do we know? We know by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what our text says. All right? There's one. We've already looked at that a little bit. He's leading us on a pilgrimage through this world. Do you confess with those in Hebrews 11? Do you sense that you were headed to everlasting glory? Okay. I hope so. I do. Do you love spiritual things like worship services like this? Do you love learning more of Christ in such services? Now, to the world, to a lost person in the world, this is absolutely boring. Why would I want to spend an hour like this, wasting my life? That's the way lost people would look at this. But if you really love spiritual things like worship services and learning more of Christ, that's a good sign. You're led of the Spirit. Do you love being with God's people? Do you really love being with God's people? The Spirit leads us to love them and to love being with them. Would you feel more at home with a bunch of ungodly people right now? I think I'd be more at ease, kicked back, laid back, yeah, with a bunch of worldly people. No. John says, by the Spirit of God, 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. Now, just think about this. If you don't remember the rest of the point, remember this. You will be with those eternally that you love the most. You will be with those eternally that you love the most. So just get used to it. All right. Now, do you really want to live for God's glory? There's another good question. There's another good way to test ourselves. Do you really want to live for God's glory, or do you prefer living for yourself and for sin? Only true sons desire wholeheartedly to live for the glory of God. Now here's another one. Do you really want to know more of Christ, reading and studying the Bible with that in mind? Do you want to know more of Christ? Is it thrilling to you or is it boring to you? We love Him because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Now then, here's one. Here's a big one. Are you sad because you don't love Him more than you do? There is a good test. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are sad that you don't love Him more than you do. Oh, Cowper, or Cooper, however you want to say it. It depends on if you're in England or Scotland, I guess. William Cowper. He said, Lord, it is my chief complaint that my love is weak and faint. Only true sons of God mourn for such things. Now, there's a good test. We're on the last page, folks. Are we on the same page? Okay. Here, I don't know what number this is. But I've got it numbered, but I don't know that that's right. Do you have a growing sense of your own depravity? Ooh, there's a biggie. Do you think more highly of yourself than you did a year ago? Do you think more highly of yourself than you did 5 years ago? I'm pretty good, don't you? I really trust myself. I know if I go to certain places, I'll behave myself. Because I'm just basically a good dude. Well, I don't feel that way about myself. I say, there are some places that I don't need to be because I don't need to tempt myself. Okay? Now, here's the question. Do you have a growing sense of your own depravity? Do you think more highly of yourself than you did a year ago or 5 years ago? Do you know now what Solomon spoke of in 1 Kings 8:38? The plague of our own heart. I don't know my heart. I ain't got a plague, man. I use all kind of good medicines, and I'm pretty well, you know, I don't have any heart trouble. Solomon said that every man may know the plague of his own heart. 1 Kings 8:38. Only true sons of God have a deeper grief about our sin year by year. Okay. Here's another one. I've got number 8, but I'm not sure that's accurate. Are you growing more watchful and taking heed against temptations more than you used to? Haven't you been there and done that before? And so often did you say, no. I've been there and done that, and I'm not going there. I know what it leads to, so I'm away from it. Okay? Are you more watchful? Do you take heed more? Lest you fall. We're commanded to. Now, are you taking heed against temptations more than you used to? That's a good sign. Because those that are the sons of God do such things. Okay. Are you longing? Are you hungering? Are you thirsting? Are you breathing? Are you panting for more holiness and righteousness nowadays than you formerly did? If you are hungering and thirsting and panting and breathing and yearning and longing for more holiness and righteousness in your experience than you used to, that's a good sign. Wow, hallelujah. Praise God for such things. Now, are you endeavoring to mortify the deeds of the flesh? Are you putting any of your remaining sins to death? One of those dear pastors that we saw speaking on the Martin Lloyd-Jones video was Jeffrey Thomas. He wrote a little booklet, and he's written for Banner Truth for years. Brother Beakey published this, How to Kill Remaining Sin. Well, let's think about this. Are you honestly endeavoring to mortify the deeds of the flesh? Are you putting any of your remaining sin to death? True sons of God do, and are endeavoring to do this more and more. If you would like to read that little booklet, I got one sitting on my desk. It's really tremendous. And he has a wonderful illustration in there of a man who came into his office and he wanted some help. And so the preacher said to him, well, you know, there's about three different paths you can go. He was telling him his problems, and he said, well, you can just let yourself go and just do all these sins that bother you. Just go ahead and enjoy them all. That's option number one. Can you do that? He said, I don't think I can. He said, number two is you go down to a local pawn shop, buy you a good pistol with some good bullets, and you go outside your house where you don't make a mess, and you get rid of the problem. Right here. So he said, I don't think I can do that either. So he finally got to the last option. But he's going to have to put some sin to death in his life. And he did. Praise God that man did. All right, he saw him some years later, and he's back in that same city, and there he was. The guy was doing right. It's good. Okay, so are you mortifying? Are you putting any of your remaining sins to death? Now, we're getting close to the end, right here at the bottom of the page. Those led by the Spirit of God are seeing more fruit of the Spirit manifested in their lives. You know where the fruit of the Spirit is. We've looked at it before. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love God? Are you growing in that love? Do you love others? Do you even love your enemies? Joy. You have joy. Even though you may not have happiness, you can have joy. Even in the midst of trouble. Do you have peace with God? Do you try to live peaceably with others? Long-suffering. Patience. God's been very patient with us. Can't we be patient with those around us? Since God's so super long-suffering with us. Gentleness. There, we've all got one there to work on. Goodness. And faith, or faithfulness. Growing in faithfulness. Even the faithfulness to our word. Faithfulness to our promises. Meekness. Not getting revenge. Temperance. Self-control. Having a disciplined, controlled life. Now, Martin Luther thought of God as strict and judgmental. He hated God at one point. Do you think of God that way? Or are you led by the Spirit of God to love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you see some of these things taking place in your life, then you can rejoice and you can do what Jesus said. Leap up and shout. Praise God. I mean, it's wonderful. He said, leap for joy. It's good to be happy and to know that God is doing some of these things in your life. He's working in you. So you may not say, I can see them all, but it's even something to endeavor after, to walk more closely with God. I saw somebody the other day had written themselves a note, what I want to be, how I want to grow, and how I want to be closer to the Lord. And I said, it's a good deal. I like that. Okay. So let us pray together. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to just grope around in a maze. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us very concrete terminology in Thy Word. Thou hast given us not only examples, Thou hast given us commandments, Thou hast given us Thy Spirit, Thou hast told us who the true children of God are. Oh God, help us to examine ourselves and to make sure that we know and love God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love Thee, O Father. In Jesus' name, amen.